This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back, Caps fans. It has been a long summer. What is going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me as always, he melted down all the ice, and he's just been swimming laps all summer, waiting for this new season to start. Coach
Dan.
In
a lot better shape if that wasn't true.
Coach Dan, what's up, man?
Not too much. How you doing? It's been a while.
I'm doing good. Long time. No talking. Luckily, though, Ovechkin came back to town. And, hey, if the captain is back in D.C., I think we need to kick off our own version of training camp and talk about the Caps before the regular season starts. So, it is good to be back. It's good to talk to you again, bud. But, hey, training camp starts this Friday. Let's start off with the new guys. We got two big names, Justin Williams, TJ Oshie. Let's talk about where we think they're going to land. Where do you see these guys landing? Is Oshie going to be on the top line? Williams going to be on the second? What are you thinking?
Healthy scratches.
You think healthy scratches?
I think healthy scratches. No, I'm just kidding. My educated guess. I mean, you got to figure Oshie there. It's sort of tough to say because you don't know what the chemistry is going to be between these guys, and maybe they can't all get on the same page necessarily. So while it seems logical to say that Oshie will be on the first line and Williams on the second, it may not necessarily be the case. Williams may be a better fit with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and Oshie may end up being a better fit with Kuznetsov and whoever lines up on the left, whether it's Johansson or Burakovsky or whomever that may be. But my guess is that Oshie will be up on the first line on the right wing, Williams will be the second line right wing, and as soon as Backstrom's back from his injury and his rehab, then they'll be ready to go.
Well, it's crazy to think Backstrom already back on the ice, at least on a little bit of informal training. So he's at least trying to stay in shape while he gets back into 100% condition. But I have to imagine TJ Oshie is going to be on that top line, at least to start it off. Hopefully we're not, you know, doing another Jaromir Jagr type of thing that happened in D.C. before.
No, because Oshie doesn't seem like a douche.
That is very true. He does not seem like a douche in any way. But definitely, this training camp is going to be about how he gels with Ovi and potentially Backstrom or maybe Evgeny Kuznetsov or Marcus Johansson, and we'll see how he gels with those guys. Justin Williams, I want to see him on the second line because I think he would be a good role model, well, not role model, a good guy to bounce off of with Evgeny Kuznetsov. I think the two of them could get into a rhythm together and potentially be a great pair. But he's Mr. Game 7, and of course the Capitals play plenty of Game 7s in their history, and they love those Game 7s.
And I blame them for why I'm going to die young.
Very true.
Those bastards.
But they're the two big names. I think everybody is just going to be watching them. There's going to be a giant magnifying glass on those two guys, at least to start off training camp, and potentially see how they do in the first game and in preseason, and we'll go from there. But besides those two other guys, who else are you looking for in training camp just to make some noise?
Brooks Lick. I am looking to see him make some noise because not just with that big old ring he put on her finger.
Good Lord, did you see that thing? My God, you couldn't even tell where the Titanic hit it. That thing was huge.
Well, he gets certainly paid enough money.
Apparently.
So, that's not a problem. I mean, I expect to see Light come out and be able to play well. He certainly needs to pick up his game after the way he's been playing the last couple of seasons. Who else? I'd like to see Tom Wilson certainly improve his offensive part of his game. We know he can fight. We know his defense is halfway decent. I'd like to see him be able to get a little more offensive-minded. And I'd like to see how the pairing of Orlov and Schmidt, and what the assumed pairing is going to be, of Orlov and Schmidt. They don't have Mike Green back there, so there's a little bit less of a veteran presence in that third pairing on the defense. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two, if they can work at some chemistry and be able to work well together. Because you never know, they may not end up being able to be a good pairing and they have to switch things up. But my guess is they'll work it out. I mean, Schmidt seems more like the stay-at-home guy. Orlov likes to get in there and hip-check people. He is the master of the hip-check. And be able to get some offense going for there and bring a little bit more like Mike Green did. Not quite the same. But perhaps, and then I'll be thinking of an interesting battle between Grubauer and Justin Peters for that backup goaltending spot.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting. I got to think that Grubauer is the guy to back up Holtby, just due to the fact that I don't think Barry Trotz has any faith in Justin Peters. I mean, we've seen that in the last year. Every single time Peters was called in, he got sent down, and Grubauer was brought up, and it just did not work out well for Justin Peters. I'm sure he's going to try really hard, but I have to assume that he's going to be a Hershey Bear by the time training camp is over. You did bring
I think he'll have to go through waivers, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what will happen there. And I know, you know, Barry Trotz is not Adam Oates. He doesn't want to carry three goaltenders throughout the majority of the season. But we'll see what happens. But if he does enter waivers, I got to assume he's going to be a Hershey Bear. I don't know where else he would go. Or I mean, there are desperate teams out there if somebody does get hurt that they could use somebody like Justin Peters.
Presence.
Yeah, you know, he's been around a while. He's been through a couple teams, so we'll see what happens. But you did bring up one guy who I'm glad you did bring him up, Tom Wilson. This is a big year for him. This is, what, his third professional year with the Capitals, and he's been given some top-line minutes. Last year, he was scratched once or twice. He's a big presence. He's a fighter. He's a gritty guy. You know, he's not afraid of anybody in the NHL, and that part of his game is great. But like you did say, you want to see more offense from him. And I think he knows that. I think he knows he doesn't have to score 50 goals or whatever like Ovechkin, but he's got to be, he can't just be a fourth line guy just out there to hit people. He was high off in the draft. They've kept him around for a while. It's time now for Tom Wilson to really prove himself that he can be an NHL guy, he can be a top-line guy, and that he can be counted on in the offense.
Yeah, it seems like he's there setting him up to be on that third line. They let Joel Ward go out to San Jose. They didn't really have any contact with him, it seems, in the offseason. And so if you're going to be on the third line, you're going to have to bring it more offensively, and like you were saying, he's shown that he can do the other stuff. He can take a punch, he can give a punch, but he's also got to be able to do more in terms of putting the puck in the back of the net. We've been wanting to see that from him for a while now, and if he's unable to do that, then that's going to be a problem. He's just sitting on the fourth line anymore. He's got more potential than that. He's got to bring more of that to his game.
Now, another couple names we got to bring up. You know, we'll go into like the lines and everything, but where does a guy like Michael Lotta really fit into this team? Is he just going to be a fourth line guy? Is he going to stay there, you know, the rest of his career?
Put him on the bench too. No, I'm just kidding. No, I like Lotta. I think he brings a little bit to the game offensively, very little bit. But he's a gritty guy. He's in there. He's willing to mix it up, defend his teammates, things like that. He kind of reminds me, and I hope I don't insult or piss off any of the fans necessarily, but he kind of reminds me of like a Matt Bradley.
Okay.
Not a big goal scorer, but he'll jump in there and do what he needs to do to defend his teammates and mix it up, and he plays hard. I think he's your fourth line right winger. That fourth line, I think, is pretty set, though I suppose training camp could make things a little more interesting, but I think he's definitely on the fourth line. You know, he's played center before, so if Beagle or whoever gets tossed out, he can jump in there as well, and you're not completely caught off guard. So I think he's a good player. I like to see him on the fourth line. I don't think he's any better than that. It's not an insult to him. It's just a skill set, and that's the way it is. And I think he'll be a solid player for the team.
Yeah, Trotz was down in Florida with a lot of the staff, and they were at that that rookie tournament that was going on. And I don't know if you got to tune in on the Monumental Network for any of that, but if you've ever wondered what a hockey game looks like in an entirely empty arena, that was how you see it, because there was nobody in those seats this past, it was just yesterday, on Tuesday, for the Caps last game. I tuned in for a little bit while I was at work. I was definitely on my lunch break, though. Don't worry about that. But there was nobody in the stands there. But Barry Trotz was talking about how Lotta, Burakovsky, like a lot of those guys, will be asked to go to the center position for a little bit, and he's going to test out who can do that. He did the same thing with Fair last year, if you remember. He had him going to the center, and so that was something that Fair wasn't really comfortable with, but sort of got into the groove with. I give a lot of crap to Brooks Like because I haven't really seen what he can do in the last couple of years, but the best part of Brooks Like's game is that he is very versatile. He can play on the wing, he can play in center, and if you remember a couple of years ago, he was a defenseman for a game or two when they were on a road trip, and I think Mike Green, shocking, got hurt, and Brooks Like had to play defense for a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because obviously Trotz in his mind has some things he wants to try out, at least during this preseason training camp. And potentially moving some guys around from a wing to a center spot could be one of those moves.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of tough to see when you have to see what happens with some of the guys and how they play. And it seems to be that we have visions of how these guys are, and then they have an idea as to how people are going to play. And like Burakovsky, you're saying, they keep talking about where is he going to play. And you know, I like the fact that they have guys that can play multiple positions. So, I mean, it's helpful when you have a guy get tossed out of the center spot, especially if you're in the offensive zone, you're trying to get a quick faceoff to be able to get an offensive opportunity. Or if you're defensively, you need to have someone in there that's going to be able to win the faceoff, because you certainly don't want to turn over the puck right in front of your own goal. That would be bad. So having these guys that are flexible and have faceoff possibilities, I mean, it seems like on every line, at least with my lineup that I'm staring at, the sort of expected lineup that you and I may have, that you have two guys that can take faceoffs. That certainly gives the team more opportunities to do good things, and better opportunities to come away with points after every game.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of these lineups. Well, you know, there's just a giant line of dudes. Like you just
you want to phrase that again?
Yeah, it's just a there's a lot of dudes that are on this list of players that have been invited to training camp. Is that better? Is that better worded?
A little better.
Okay.
A little better.
But a lot of familiar names, a lot of new guys. I'm kind of intrigued. It's fun, since we're in the preseason, to see some of these names kind of mixed together. But think of, you know, Riley Barber playing with Ovechkin, and of course Backstrom's not playing, but seeing Riley Barber playing with any of these guys, he's a right winger. So he shoots right. I'm reading that incorrectly. Oh God, I just read his birth date. That is depressing. He was born in 94.
Lord.
That is he's a baby. My God.
He's a little younger than us. We're a little old now, dude.
Yeah.
If we were in the NHL, we'd be one of those guys. They'd be like, I don't know.
They're on the bottom, the back nine.
He's a little older.
Oh, that's depressing. But you do have guys that are just coming out of college, like Riley Barber, or guys that have played a little bit of minor leagues, like Madison Bowie, that they could potentially just get a couple games in with a lot of these veterans. And I like to see what they can do. I don't know. That's what this preseason's for, I guess. Is there anybody that you can think of, maybe in like the Hershey Bears organization, the Stingrays, that you think could potentially start with the Capitals, at least for maybe the first month or so, as they're getting started with Backstrom going out? I mean, there is potentially a spot open, at least for the first month or so of regular season.
Well, there seemed to be a spot open, but I think they potentially have closed that hole for a lot of the guys, potentially in Hershey, by signing, or I should say inviting, NHL center Derek Roy to come to training camp and try out for a spot on the team. I think this actually is a smart move. According to Roy, it sounds like the team and he were talking throughout the summer to see if they could work something out. I know the Caps have, once they decide on who the backup goalie is, they should have about $1.5 million and change in cap space, something right around there. And I think it makes sense to bring him in. He's a veteran center. Yeah, he's bounced around for a couple of years. I mean, he was drafted by the Sabres, and then he stayed with them from 2003 after being started playing in the NHL until 2012. And then in the offseason, he was traded to Dallas. And since then, he's played for Vancouver and St. Louis and Nashville and the Edmonton. So he's bounced around a little bit, but he's a solid offensive center. I think he definitely fill in nicely on the second or third line. I think if Backstrom's out, you know, you could potentially put Roy in that spot, depending how he gels with the team, or you could potentially bump up Kuznetsov and put Roy on the second line, or bump up like Burakovsky and put someone else on the second, put Roy on the third line. So there's different opportunities. He's a little older at 32. He's about 5'9", a little over 180 pounds, right around there. So he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's put up some solid offensive numbers before. It's been a couple of years, but he seems like a solid pickup. It sounds like a guy who wants to come and improve himself to the NHL, that he still has the skills to play there. And, you know, it's a sort of a low-risk, high-reward. If it doesn't work out, you let him go because you didn't have him signed to a contract. And if it works out and he signs a cheap deal, then you've got a solid player for a season that can fill him, especially if you have Backstrom out until hopefully no later than November.
Hopefully, I would assume Backstrom would be back by that time. He's already on the ice. You know, he's doing some of these other unofficial practices, I guess, he's having down at Kettler with a bunch of the guys. Also, with Backstrom being out, there's also Brooks Orpik, who had wrist surgery this past year. They don't expect him to miss any regular season games, but potentially he could miss a couple of the preseason games. So there is another...
Oh, no!
Yeah, there is a spot or two open for...
I think at his age, he'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine. But you do have guys like Madison Bowie or Connor Carrick.
Wait, you were talking about ages? Sorry, I just saw this on me interrupt. But you were talking about the ages of dudes that are coming in yeah. playing? Dude, the one guy, what was the one you talked about? 94. One dude, 97.
Oh, God.
Well, I was in middle school at that point.
Yeah, well, I was 12 when he was born. Oh, Lord, that is depressing. That is very depressing. Oh, man, this one guy is from Thunder Bay, Ontario. I'm sorry.
That is a cool name.
That is pretty cool.
Chorney?
Is that who it is? Yeah, it is. It is Taylor Chorney.
I'm looking at the roster as well.
Look at that. Thunder Bay. All right. So, so Taylor Chorney, he's potentially the seventh guy you kind of keep on for the Capitals. But with Orpik missing a game or two, do you see anybody, at least on defense, that could potentially step up for him? Maybe a guy like Connor Carrick, who we saw two seasons ago and then didn't see him at all last year? Or do you see a guy, possibly Madison Bowie, wowing some people and at least getting a game or two up with the Caps to start it off?
They got a couple of guys that they could potentially bring up. I mean, Carrick, I think, might, depending on how he looks in camp, might be the first guy they bring up. I think maybe they'll reward someone. If Orpik isn't ready to go to start the season, I think Carrick may be the guy. Or, you know, they signed Chorney to potentially be their seventh defenseman. They may just put him in there for a couple of games. If Christian Juice is there, they may give him the opportunity to come up and play a little bit. But they have a couple of young guys they could bring up and have them play and give them a cup of coffee to see how they do over the first couple of games. Maybe someone that we haven't even talked about may surprise you. You seen this guy, third one down on the defense?
Third one down on the defense.
Bergdorfer.
Oh, he's from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And he plays for Hershey.
Maybe Bergdorfer. You've got a silly name. maybe look at him a chance. I mean, I don't know. There's a couple of guys, you know, you never know who's going to surprise you in training camp that'll
October.
Enough. Yeah, I mean, you come out, you play well in training camp, you get an opportunity to hang around and play a couple of games. It happened to Connor Carrick before.
Happened to Mr. Liam O'Brien last year. And he was one of the leaders at rookie camp that we went to back in July. And he also was a part of the rookie tournament that was down in Florida earlier this week. So he's definitely got some experience with this team. If I remember correctly, the ladies voted him best mustache back in November last year. So he's got a fan base, at least.
Ooh.
Yeah. So potentially you could see him come up again. It's very intriguing to see what could happen. Let's talk about Marcus Johansson a little bit, though, because last podcast or even podcast or two before we did that, we were talking about what it meant to have TJ Oshie and Justin Williams here. We were going through our lines saying potentially it would be TJ Oshie and Backstrom and Ovechkin on one line. It would be Evgeny Kuznetsov. It would be Justin Williams and Burakovsky on the second line. And as we're going through this, we kind of left Marcus Johansson out. So given the fact that he got a one-year deal, he went through arbitration and all that crap, where does Marcus Johansson land for this year? Because I have my
own... Didn't he sign his deal before? Like, they went to arbitration, but then they signed the deal before the arbiter decided.
I don't think
so. Is that somebody else? Who am I thinking of?
No, him and Holpe both went through the arbitrator and everything.
They both went through it. Holpe's deal was before the arbiter... came back with his comment or his opinion or his whatever.
Yeah, hope he got paid. We're fine with that. But where does Marcus land now? Like, where does he go from here? Is he, you know, does he take Burakovsky's place? Because he wants to make top six money. And if the
don't we all
if the Caps spent top six money on this guy, he's gotta be in the top six. If you put him in the bottom six, I think he's kind of like lost.
Say the same about Brooks, like.
Eh. Yeah.
No, I mean, he got signed to a one-year, $3.75 million deal. I think I've sort of been expecting to be traded the last couple of years, and that's never happened. And I think that he's probably set to be as the second-line left winger instead of Burakovsky. And the reason I say that is because McClellan continues to talk about Burakovsky as if he thinks he's eventually going to play center. And I don't think he's going to bump ahead of Kuznetsov, and he's certainly not going to bump ahead of Backstrom. So it certainly seems to me that, like, he's going to end up being the third line center going into the season, as long as he can gel well with, you know, Wilson and Leiker, whoever may be on that line. So I think if he plays well, it sounds like Johansson will be on that second line and Burakovsky on the third. That's my expectation.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Obviously, Barry Trotz has ideas about Burakovsky. He definitely showed up in the postseason. You know, in those playoff games, he looked really good. And what did he have? He had two goals in one of the games, I think, against the Islanders. Or no, it was against the Rangers. So he looked good. But throughout the year, he got scratched for the Winter Classic game. He was sent down to Hershey. You know he was not happy in Hershey. He thinks he's a major leaguer and wants to be treated as such. So with him coming back, obviously he's got something to prove. And hopefully he's been able to open up some eyes to show that he can be one of these major league guys. But for Johansson, you know, he's been here so long, and for them to go to arbitration and to only offer a 1-year deal, I feel as if that deal is a put our money where our mouth is and prove it type of thing, and telling him that this is your last shot, and if you don't do well after this year, then we're going to let you go. And potentially, if they're going to try to make some moves, or somebody gets hurt and they need to make some moves or whatever, I see Marcus Johansson, his main deal this year is to be trade bait and potentially have him leave somewhere for some draft picks, or, you know, to get some help out somewhere where somebody's hurt. So what do you think? Do you think that he potentially could get traded? We've been talking about it for years. If anything, I would say this year would be the best time to do it.
See, the thing is, if you trade him, so you put Burakovsky potentially in as your second line left winger, then who's your third line center? Like, if you trade him, you trade him to bring in someone. I mean, unless Derek White turns out to be a beast, maybe put him on that third line as a center, and then Burakovsky goes in the second line and plays well, then you're not losing quite as much by moving Johansson in terms of offensive numbers. But I mean, it's a risk one either way you do it, depending on how the team lines up in coming out of training camp, because you definitely don't want to lose any offense by moving Johansson just because of the salary. I mean, unless you go and you get like a high draft pick, or you get a really solid prospect in the deal, then that's a little different. But I think as of right now, it sounds like they're hanging on to Johansson. They think he's a part of the team. It seemed like Johansson had no interest in going anywhere else during the whole process. They were just trying to find a number that fit both of them.
Yeah, he really didn't. It seemed like he was just having his agent do everything. He was just kind of like, yeah, you know, I'll figure out what's going on later.
I don't have time for this numbers game.
But for the third line, I mean, Johansson, I would think he'd have to center up that third line with Brooks and Chimmer.
You say Johansson?
I would say Johansson. I mean,
I got Burakovsky. I think they view Johansson more as a winger.
Yeah, I mean, those two, I guess there's some, maybe they want them to be interchangeable or whatever. Those two could kind of bounce around, because a center, because then you also got to think about Beagle. Like, is he going to be your fourth line center? Because he did very well this past season. It was his highest goal scoring season. He's such a good center dude. I would say that he would be your third line center, and it would be him, Chimmer, and Brooks. But again, I don't know. He could flip flop and go down to.
All right. So should we say our lines?
I guess so. Yeah, let's, I guess well, so.
Because it seems like you and I, we don't quite the same. All right, you go first, or you want me to go first?
Well, let's go line by line. So first line, I'm saying the preseason regular.
I imagine this is going to be the same.
Yes, I'm almost. Let's say it together. Ready?
Now we're now are we doing this before or after, or with or without Backstrom? Because I have two written down.
Let's say regular season. Regular season, if Backstrom's okay, I'm saying okay. Ovi, Backy, TJ Oshie. If Backy is hurt, I'm saying it's Ovi, TJ Oshie, and Marcus Johansson.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so yeah, I have the same for the regular season with Backstrom. I think those three are your best offensive players. You put them together and, you know, things happen. I think it can't be too difficult to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom. A Backstrom can set you up anywhere on the ice, and Ovechkin just work your butt in front of the net and someone's scoring.
In regards to without Backstrom, I have Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Oshie. Yeah, kind of you mess with all the lines a little bit by moving Kuznetsov up from the second line, but I think that there's some familiarity with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, and I think Oshie still does the same things Oshie does. And I think
there's
more or less without Backstrom for the first couple of games, if need be.
There's also the potential, and you're going to yell at me, of having Ovi, Oshie, and Beagle. Because Beagle has
shut up.
Beagle has been the go-to guy when someone is hurt. He gets top line minutes.
No. Though I wouldn't be surprised if Trotz did that.
Right, exactly. Thank you. It may not be the right move, but it could happen.
No, I don't want it to happen.
All right, so let's go to the second line. I'm saying
it is Beagle on that one too.
No, Beagle doesn't need to be the second. He's either like first or...
He's on every line.
Yeah, first or third is what this guy is. So center, I'm saying Kuznetsov, and then Justin Williams on the wing. And then, again, it depends on if Backstrom's good or not. It's going to be Burakovsky or Johansson.
Okay, so what's your line?
Come on, coach. I know. Well, no, if... All right, let's do it again. If Backstrom doesn't start the season... then it will be Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, Williams. If Backstrom does start the season, then it's going to be Johansson, Kuznetsov, Williams.
I have with Backstrom, I think I have the same. Johansson, Kuznetsov, Williams. Without Backstrom, I have Johansson, Burakovsky, Williams.
Okay, so Kuznetsov for you is top line.
Burakovsky's Swede, right?
Right.
Yeah, I have a little Swedish flavor and then an American, Williams.
I'm pretty sure. It's a pretty...
Does it mean soda or something like that?
It's a pretty American name.
Williams, it's fairly standard.
Yeah.
Ontario.
He's a Canadian, eh?
I was so close. Well, Minnesota's practically Canada. More or less the same thing.
Yeah.
I would have Marcus Johansson with Kostky and Williams go on that second line. I think that would be a solid fit. I know that by doing so, I'm messing with all the lines a little bit, but I think it'll be okay.
All right, so third line, I'm thinking you have Beagle centering it up, and you've got Brooks.
Already lost me.
And Chimmer.
What? Okay. Third line, was it with Backstrom?
Yes.
Okay, third line with Backstrom. I got Like, Burakovsky, and Wilson.
Okay.
You gotta have Wilson on the third line. You can't play fourth line minutes anymore.
Okay. You see, that was I was gonna bring that up again. You know, if it's Brooks, Beagle, and Chimmer, I was gonna say Chimmer and Wilson could kind of swap out of who's on third and fourth. I think starting the season though, you still have Chimmer on the third.
Over Wilson?
Over Wilson. I think Wilson will start the season on the fourth and work his way up later on in the season.
McClellan's head's going to explode.
I know.
All right, without Backstrom, though, I have Like, Roy Wilson.
Okay, so you're seeing Roy making this team.
I think Derek Roy makes the team. I think he fills in nicely. And I think that if he plays well enough, I think they trade Chimera.
Ooh.
And put Roy, if Backstrom's healthy, and this will go to my fourth line. Okay, so if Backstrom's healthy, I have Chimera, Beagle, Lotta. But if Roy makes the team and outplays Chimera, then I have Roy, Beagle, Lotta. Or you potentially put Roy on that third line on the wing. He's going to be playing a little bit of wing, and I think both wing and center at training camp. And you put Roy, Burakovsky, Wilson, and have Like on the fourth line. Which then has a very solid fourth line, potentially Like, Beagle, Lotta.
Oh, that is pretty interesting.
Now, Backstrom, you still have a similar thing of like Chimera, Beagle, Lotta as a fourth line.
That is interesting. Brooks, Beagle, Lotta on the fourth, because that's definitely solid.
Right now, I have Like on the third line, and you potentially have Roy on the third line with Beagle and Lotta. You have a little veteran with the younger guys.
That'd yeah. Well, that fourth line, putting Brooks on that fourth line could be a good idea because usually the fourth line is a bunch of grinders, you know, just wearing out the other team. But by putting somebody who could score a goal every once in a while, you do give a little bit of danger for every single line that's out there. So when you're up against certain opponents, they're not going to go, all right, well, the fourth line's out there. We just need to buckle down and play defense and make sure these guys don't wear us out. By putting Brooks on that fourth line, you are giving the potential of them being on their heels because you got somebody who can score a goal as well be defensive at the same time. So that's interesting. Didn't think of that before. Good call, coach.
Well, you know, that's why you call me coach.
All right, so potentially my fourth line, I think Lotta would be the center for me. Wilson on the wing. And then, again, depending on Backstrom, I would have Burakovsky potentially on the fourth or Johansson, depending on who is either centering up the first line. See, it's crazy, man. Backstrom's the key to all of this, man. He's like, he's...
Yeah, stop throwing everything off, you pansy. Oh, my hip hurts. What a what?
Man, he's like the Luke Skywalker of this team, you know. Without him,
fine. I mean, if Roy comes in, it's Roy, not Wah, right?
I'm just gonna say Roy.
I'm pretty sure he's Derek. He's Roy. He spells his name or says it the way it's spelled. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's fine. I think Roy will be a good guy to bring in. I think we'll sign him to a contract, and I think he'll be on the team. I think he'd be a good. You know, he's a guy you can put up in the press box if you have to. But I think he's gonna come in. He's gonna play. I'll play some guys. I think he's gonna be someone that makes the roster. And I think we may see someone who's been here for a while in the press box or on their way out. I mean, that's a possibility. I think defensively, I think we're going to have the same thing we had last season. Orpik, Carlson, Olser, Niskanen, Orlov, and Schmidt. That's the last two are not necessarily what we saw last season.
Right, but the big question mark really is Orlov. How much rust does he have, being the fact that he didn't play at all last year? An entire
that's
season off.
That's what training camp's for.
That's what training... Exactly. And, you know, I also have to wonder, like, with the NHL not saying whether or not they're going to be in the Olympics in a couple of years and doing the World Cup and everything, you look at a guy like Dmitry Orlov who got hurt on a non-NHL game and is out the entire season. That affects your team, that affects everything. It's, I don't know, they might be putting like a guy like Orlov under the microscope to see how he does. But I'm hoping that he's good. I think I would assume that they're happy with Orlov, given the fact that they let Green go. They know that they've got somebody who can potentially take Green's spot and make the right amount of money for that, and not get that Mike Green money that he's getting in Detroit.
Yeah, right.
There's a guy on here whose name is Max Suave.
I don't know where.
It's he's a forward, and he played in
the roster.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And his name is Max Suave, and
Suave.
He played in Germany for Cologne.
Cool.
Max Suave Cologne. I mean, that writes itself. The Capitals are just printing money right there.
That's smart. It's like the guy that they want Connor Hobbs to do well because the advertising sells itself.
There you go.
Calvin Hobbs. There you go.
Perfect.
That'd be good. Good, nice little videos they could put up when he scores a goal.
Also, a dude born in 97.
Defenseman have every once in a while. You could have some fun stuff with that. I know you're missing. I just want to do the accent again, but you're missing your boy DePauly.
DePauly. DePauly gets a cup of coffee.
Well, he's not going to be getting no coffee. He's going to be in college. Go to them books.
All right.
I read them books. Get their education.
How you doing, huh? How you doing, girl? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Have him on the show somehow and then just talk like that the entire time. we got Thomas DePauly here.
I thought you guys were based in Maryland. What the hell just happened?
We're Boston Marylanders?
We're Boston New Yorkers from Maryland.
Boston New Yorkers live in Maryland? You can talk about hockey and the Islanders? No, I don't know.
All right, man. Anything else we should talk about for this first?
I know we're not doing the NHL stuff, but yeah. The Islanders and their terrible jerseys.
Oh man, those third
moved
jerseys.
To Brooklyn, they got to look like the Nets.
Oh god, yeah.
Those are terrible. I said we were talking about this before the show, and I said that those jerseys are worse than the Caps Winter Classic ones, and that shows you how bad they are because I hated the Winter Classic ones.
I know you did, but I was okay with them. I got one. I'm fine with
it. Well, we all make mistakes.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. Well, until we talk again, it's crazy to think about this, but the Capitals start training camp on Friday. And then, and then on Monday, September 21st, they have their first preseason game.
Yeah, there's like no dicking around when it comes to the NHL training camp.
Not at all.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Get on the ice. We're playing a game. What?
And
I just got here.
I didn't even unpack my bag yet. I came from Russia. Give me some time.
Did I close the training camp roster? That was... Oh, no, it's right there. Okay. Think about some... Like, that dude you're talking about is coming from Germany. What if he flies over and gets in Friday? He's still going to be tired. He's from France. All right. Well, he's from France. He's not making a hockey roster. So let's just settle down. But the point is, it's a little quick. You don't have a lot of time to learn stuff.
English.
Whatever. Well, that's certainly a problem for some of them. Ovechkin. I mean, I don't know. Is Nathan Walker coming from Australia?
Well, no, he's already here because he
still
was
be in the plane by Monday.
He's going around training camp. He's going around training camp, just going, please don't make me say good day. Please don't make me say good day. Please don't make me say good day.
Someone's gonna put Foster's in his locker, and he's gonna be like, "You guys are jerks."
He's gonna be like, "You guys are jerks," but I'm keeping this because I actually enjoy Foster.
You guys are jerks, but thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, the Capitals have their first preseason game on Monday, September 21st.
You know who I want to see?
Who's that?
Interrupting. So I want to bring this up because they signed him, but their second round pick from this past draft, Jonas Siegenthaler.
Jeez.
I hope I'm saying his name correctly. They signed him to a 3-year entry level deal, even though he'll be spending next season in Zurich. But I want to see how this kid plays. Brandon, are any of these games going to be on the TVs?
Oh, funny you should ask. Because the first preseason game...
We didn't plan this in advance. I'm actually asking him because I didn't feel like looking it up.
On Monday, September 21st, the Capitals will be up against Carolina, and that game will be broadcasted on Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah!
At 7 o'clock locally here. And unfortunately, there isn't another televised game until October 2nd, which is a Friday.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so we only get 3 preseason games this year.
They have 6 total, right?
I believe let me see what I can find out. Washington Capitals.
I know the preseason games were the ones I used to go to where you'd pay for the really cheap tickets and then just go down to the lower level because no one cares.
Yeah, they were $10 tickets.
Of course, they also sucked then, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, last time I did that, I took a girl to a preseason game, and she didn't like our cheap tickets, so she talked to a friend who had season tickets down on the ice, like 10 rows back, and we sat with them, and she talked to him the whole night, but we're not going to get into that.
Whoops.
I'm sure that they're going to be doing Caps Radio for the other games. But Monday, September 21st is the Caps Hurricanes, and that's on Comcast Sportsnet. On Tuesday, September 22nd, the Capitals will be in Boston at 7 o'clock. Thursday, September 24th, they'll be in Montreal up against the Canadiens at 7:30. And then we're on Monday, September 28th, Capitals Islanders, 7 o'clock. Wednesday, September 30th, Capitals against Carolina. So, wow, they only have one home game. So that Monday game is your only chance to see the Capitals, at least in September. The next two are in October.
They're playing all their rookies then.
Right. And then in October, which we'll be doing our show before October, Friday and Sunday, the 2nd and 4th, the Capitals will be at home, and they will be preseason games. So if you want to see the Caps, you got 3 shots. 3 shots in D.C. Otherwise, you're going to Boston or Montreal or New York or Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I don't know. That Friday game, October 2nd, there's potential of me heading down there. That'd be good to see the Bruins.
Wait, where is it?
It's in D.C.
It's a home game.
Yeah, it's a home game. So potentially going there. That would be fun. Those tickets are cheap, like we said. And you're not going to see any of the starters, but it's fun. When I went to the last preseason game I just talked about, a fight broke out, and the two rookies got the stick caught in between them. So they're throwing punches with a stick just flying in the air in between the two guys. It was hilarious.
I went to a preseason game, and there was a fight between Peter Bondra and Rick, who was it? I want to say Sammy Kapanen, but I don't know if that was right. But, like, it clearly was a joke because they were both, like, smiling and laughing while they were doing it. And it was, like, two veterans just, like, screwing around during a preseason game. And it was just, like, the dumbest thing. Like, they weren't really hitting very hard. They were just kind of, like, throwing punches. Long but it was, taps. Like, clearly, like, screwing around and laugh. And, like, afterwards they were laughing and, like, skated to the penalty box or whatever it was. Like, clearly it was a joke. Because, like, it was like, yeah, fine. Wait, Bondra? No, no. Oh, you're just joking. All right, you're fine.
Obviously they were just like, you want to go home early? Yeah. Want to get a beer after this? Absolutely. Let's fight. All right.
I think it was Sammy Kapanen, but I can't. The name sounds right, but I don't remember who it was. But either way, it was very silly. But, yeah, I mean, some of the preseason games can be fun because you go and you see a lot of some of the young guys you don't really get to see unless you feel like driving up to Hershey or down to South Carolina, or you see some of these guys like Sangen Thaler that are going to be playing overseas. He'll be in Zurich.
You know, I looked at
that would be cool
to go there.
Go to a game in Europe.
Uh huh.
That would be kind of cool. Not the KHL. Not the KHL.
I'd be cool going to the KHL. I'd be cool with going to World Juniors. I'm fine with
you. I go to like a game in Zurich in Switzerland. That would be kind of fun.
That would be fun. Would be fun.
Or in Sweden.
Sweden. I could go to
Sweden.
As long
as they don't just like leave you on the side of the road like they did with Marcus Johansson.
Remember when they used to open up the season across the pond and did a bunch of different European games?
Oh, yeah.
They stopped doing that a couple of years. I could probably because of a lockout, but
I think someone got hurt, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. All right, so anything else we got to talk about in Caps World, or are we done for this show?
Oh, we got some news and notes. These are a little bit sillier things, or just sort of behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's see. Let's start off with your practice facility. Keller, which is apparently an apartment management company. I didn't know that. They extended the deal with Monumental Sports and Entertainment. They are the organization that owns the Caps, Wizards, and Mystics. Towards the naming rights of the Caps practice facility, so they will continue to be called Keller for the foreseeable future. The Caps will host their casino night on September 9th. Tickets are made available to the general public on Tuesday the 15th. I will not be going because I don't care. sorry. As we talked about training camp, the Caps will have training camp day this Saturday the 19th at Kettler, obviously. Caps alum will sign autographs from 10:30 to 11:30, and wristbands will be distributed to the first 400 people attending the session and are required to receive an autograph, which is interesting. And finally, Monumental Sports and Entertainment has agreed to a multi-year partnership with, and I have no idea if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Striver, which is spelled with all capital letters, STRIVR, because spelling is fun. Striver Labs Incorporated, which obviously sounds like something out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. To utilize Striver's virtual reality technology, this is actually happening. Press release claims that his partnership will be used for player development, as well as creating unique in-arena and VIP game day experience. And you know what also could create a great game day experience, Brandon?
What's that?
Winning a goddamn Stanley Cup. That would be a great freaking game day experience. That is a little bit, or pretty much all of the interesting Caps news and notes from who knows past when that things have been happening. I don't know. What else is going on with the Caps? Let's see. Ovechkin got engaged to a hottie. That is true. But she's Russian.
She's so a Russian model.
She's a Russian model. So yeah. Well done there, Ovechkin.
Either both of them looked really ticked off after they got engaged.
Look at the ring. All right, yo. Calm down, dude. He's engaged. Brooks Like is engaged. That reminded me, I don't know if you remember this, but there was in the games, they had the little videos and they asked the Caps players questions. And they're always like, what's your favorite kids movie or something?
Yeah.
One of them years ago, and this is when they were still like the young guns, was like, who's the biggest ladies man? Or something like that. And pretty much every player said Brooks Like. And then they went to like, and he was like, I don't know, Greeny or something, and you talk about something. And they went to Ovechkin, he said Like, and they went back to Ovechkin. And I think I actually may have talked about this on the show before. And he kind of pauses for a second, and then he goes something like, me. And then looks dead in the camera with a big smile on his face and waves and goes, hi, ladies. It was a very silly thing to do. I guess he won't be doing that anymore. Since he's now engaged. Well, he was engaged before, and that didn't work out.
He was,
This time may work out for him. I think I saw
Now former Washington Post Caps beat writer Alex Pruitt, I think he was talking to somebody else, and they were talking about the players. It's like two guys left on the team that are either not married or engaged.
They're all getting old, man.
I know, right? Well, nah, that's just us. You and I are still – I mean, it's like Ovechkin's born in 85. He's right about middle of the pack. From, I mean, Orpik is 80.
Orpik is 80? Did you say Orpik is 80?
1980. Shut up. You know what I mean. 1980 he was born. Oh, okay. They only have –
I thought you were just calling him really old. I thought you were like, he's an 80-year-old man. I just thought, I mean, that was rude.
Sometimes it seems like it, the way he skates. They have one guy that it looks like, unless I'm reading this wrong, one dude that was alive in the 70s. That is coming to training camp. Wait, hold on. I didn't check the goalies. Yep, nope, still works. One guy coming to training camp, and that is Jason Chimer.
Chimer.
He was born in 1979. Everyone else is 1980 or later.
I want them to keep Chimmer just so I can like root for someone that isn't younger than me.
That needs a Walker. And not Nathan Walker.
Oh my god, I'm even older than Matt Niskanen by a year. God, this just getting old thing sucks.
Is anybody
man.
Born in Mike Moore? He's born in the same year as me. I'm older than you though. Yeah. I'm 10 years older than Chandler Stenton. This is the stupidest part of this podcast show so far.
This is going back to our lockout days.
I know, we're like, so the lockout? Yep.
Yeah. So, how what kind of jersey are you going to wear when the lockout comes back?
What jersey you got in there? I haven't got any new jerseys in a while. Oh, you know what? I do need to get new third red for whatever.
I think you got to wait because I think we're going to have new Adidas jerseys next year.
Oh crap! I don't know. Man. Like we were talking about this off the before the show, but like how Adidas with their MLS deal, and they did it with all their teams that they have. Like I think they're paired up with like Liverpool, and they have the three stripes on the shoulders. I don't imagine the NHL is going to let them get away with that. But I wonder if that's going to be part of the deal. I know Adidas loves their three stripes.
They do.
I know it's their logo, but like that, no matter what, it has to be on there. So I'm curious as to how they're going to try and pull that off with the jersey. Now, the current jersey made by Reebok, and Adidas owns Reebok. So, not like a big deal, but it's going to be interesting.
All right, man. Well, I think that's it for What the Puck this week. If you want to continue the conversation, tell us who you think should make our jerseys. You can tweet to either of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can listen to me, or listen, not really. You can watch me read my complaints about the Redskins and how terrible they are. You can also occasionally, rarely, if I ever find the time to actually write an article, you can find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which I have a new one.
What?
Thanks to... All right, hold on. It's one of the old ones you could get from donating blood.
Okay.
The girlfriend's mother went and donated blood and had it, and I guess gave it to her son, then he didn't want it, so this is a couple years ago, then he lives in Florida, he works for Disney, so he
everyone
didn't
does
want
that.
It, and so she's like, do you, Kate texts me one day and goes, do you want a Peter Bondra bobblehead? And my response was like, yes, do you even know me? Like, of course I want a bobblehead. Yeah, so go to CapitalsOutsider.com, you can find a picture of that bobblehead, as well as all the other bobbleheads. Given out by the Washington Capitals and their affiliates and all sorts of other different, weird, very strange ones. I also have a Joel Recklich bobble fist.
I
told you. My friend Alex got me that. It's really cool. His head doesn't bobble. And he kind of looks like Nixon.
No bobblehead looks like any of the people that they're made of. It's
Oh, dude. Okay. Oriole bird one looks like the Oriole bird, number one.
Right,
well, I got the one. I didn't end up going to the game. The game was on my birthday. I didn't end up going. But the one where he's got the can of Old Bay and a mallet.
Yeah.
In a crab thing, this one is freaking awesome. My friend Phil goes to a bunch of games, and he got me to take this one, so that was really cool.
You're lucky. I didn't get to go to that game.
I've been to two O's games this year.
I've been to 11, three? I think.
Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Three O's games? Two O's games and two Nats games.
I went to, I think, 11 O's games. I went to a Frederick Keys, a Bowie Bay Sox.
You were significantly closer. Wait, how long is it taking to Oriole Park?
From my house to Oriole Park, 15 minutes.
Yeah, a little longer for me.
Yeah. But I did go down to the Bowie Bay Sox game, and I got a Manny Machado bobblehead, and he's dressed like a pirate. It's pretty cool.
What?
Yeah, he's dressed like a pirate. Captain Manny is what his name is. And if you're a Hershey Bears fan, they're doing a bobblehead. It's one bobblehead this entire season, and I forget the player, but they have him dressed as a firefighter and a policeman, and you get to vote on which one you want him to be dressed as.
What?
Yeah, the Hershey Bears are doing one bobblehead night this year.
Oh, I want that. Oh, God damn it.
And they're doing...
Whenever I go, they lose.
I know. But, yeah, it's... who is it? It is Mike Moore, bobblehead. And he's dressed as a fireman or a policeman. And you get to vote on which one you like.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Well, anyway. You know what, Coach Dan? You got to do your thing where you put the pause in and then ask me about the website now.
All right, Brandon.
Dramatic pause.
About Brando Cash Entertainment.
There we go. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast and all the other stuff we do. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Whenever a new podcast comes out, you will be the first to know. And Coach Dan, I know the Redskins are giving you a hard time. I drew the call about the Baltimore Ravens. If you would like to become a Baltimore Ravens fan, you are more than welcome to jump on this bandwagon because we're going all the way to Super Bowl. What's going on? Anytime you want to come in. That's cool. Go to Facebook.com/WTP podcast. You can like us over there. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck. And we also post pictures, stories that we find interesting, all that good stuff. Go over to Twitter at WTP_podcast. Follow us over there. Same thing. You'll be the first to know whenever a new show comes out. Guys, we are free, and there's a reason. If you listen to this whole show, there's a reason we're free, because who would listen to that whole show? I hope you guys would.
Because of the internet.
But what we need you guys to do is help us this season. We need you guys to really spread the word about What the Puck. We love doing it. We're going to continue to do it, but our numbers need to improve, man. We're getting our butts kicked in the Caps podcast world. So you guys need to spread the word about us, okay? Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I am a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, FM, and Overcast. So I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Coach, we got training camp coming up. We're going to have a couple games to talk about next week. Thank God, so we don't talk about Under Armour and fashion again. But here we go.
Brandon?
Yeah.
What's it like to follow a good football team?
It's a good feeling. You look forward to Sundays. You plan parties around it. You drink alcohol. You eat crabs. And you watch football. And when your team loses, you're mad. But realize, hey, it's only going to happen once in a while. Not every week like the Redskins. And when you have a good quarterback, an elite quarterback, who says, I'm elite, and then backs it up, is also a great feeling.
Elite?
Elite. Absolutely. Elite.
If you say so.
He's elite, man. He says it. He wins Super Bowls, makes mad money.
Your defense wins Super Bowls.
In 2000, they did. In 2012, it was Joe Flacco throwing zero interceptions. Zero in the postseason.
All right.
But you know what, Coach? Anytime you want to come on the call, talk about Baltimore Ravens football, you are more than welcome.
How am I going to pull that off?
You can. We'll Skype. We'll do a three-way Skype call.
Oh, like I literally... Not like logistically. I don't follow. What am I going to say? You wear purple. That's a girl color. Like, no. That's not a thing. So, like, who cares?
But you know what? You watch the Ravens. You come on and be like, hey, I like that that C.J. Mosley guy. I think he's good. And then we're like, hey, Coach, you know what? You're right. He is good. And then you'll be like, all right, guys, thanks a lot. And then you can just hang up.
Meh.
All right. So Coach Dan, he's now a Ravens fan. That's good to know. Good to know. But we're all Caps fans. That's what we love talking about on What the Puck. So training camp starts up. First game is Monday. So we're going to see what all these rookies are going to bring to the team. We're going to see how T.J. Oshie does, how Justin Williams does. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. We're all excited for this new season to start. Everybody say it with me. Let's go, Ravens. Coach, you want to say that part? No?
Not even a little bit.
All right. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck?
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.